Your Bibles to the book of Acts tonight. Sure appreciate the Jones family being with us here in the service. What a blessing that is. Amen. I'm glad for the truth of those songs. And I tell you, sometimes you just need to be reminded along the journey. Amen. I appreciate that so very much tonight. Acts chapter number 1, and I'll begin reading verse number 8. You're willing and able, stand tonight. Acts chapter number 1, and I'm going to read verse 8 and verse 9, and then we'll pray. Try to preach as the Lord directs our heart, and give you what God's been astirring in him these days, and try to be a help to us. Amen. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8 tonight. The Bible said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight one more time to call upon your name. Lord, I thank indeed that you can speak sweet peace to our heart. Lord, I'm glad that, Lord, you're able to do the work in the heart that has to be done, needs to be done. Oh, Father, I thank you for every time, Lord, you've come by, strengthened me, directed me, helped me, and I thank you for it. Oh, Lord, I ask you now tonight as we've gathered here, for just a little while, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Help me, oh God, to lay it all else aside. Help me to be your voice, your vessel. I preach me in the power of the Holy Ghost. Give the people hearing ears and receptive hearts. Save that soul lost here tonight. Help us as your people, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen, you can be seated. I want you to look back at the first part of verse number 9 tonight, where the Bible says, "And when he had spoken these things." Now, I'm going to preach the Lord helping me just a few minutes tonight on this subject. The Lord's words before he ascended. The Lord's words before he ascended. Here in the last several days, I began afresh this thought, this passage being in my heart, and I began looking also in the four Gospels there before he has ascended, the things that took place after the resurrection. Well, as I stand, these are the last words he said, "For he is caught up and taken up into heaven to go to the right hand of the Father, where he makes intercession for you and for me." Now, as he was leaving, he had some words for the disciples, that crowd that gathered on that hill that day. And I'll say this, I'm glad too, it talked about him being received outside, but I'm glad the angel also let him know he's coming back like he promised. Amen. And the Lord is coming, but he's give us something until he comes again. And we find here in these words, I'll look at three things in verse 8, and I'll be done. Here's what's on my heart. The words the Lord gave before his ascending, let me say first of all, they were words about power. For he said in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." Now hear me and hear me well tonight. As we are in this world, we cannot do anything of ourselves. We must have the power of God to do anything in this day and place that we live in. Hey, you can may try some things in your flesh, and maybe on the beginning look like it's pretty successful. I promise you, on the long range, it won't do much good. It won't change a whole lot. It won't even last very long. But the power of God is the answer for every situation. It is not the might of men, but it is the might of Almighty God to help us each day we live. I thought about this power. Let me give you three things about the power, and I'll go on to other points. I will say this, it's spiritual power. It is not a tangible that you can touch type power. It is a spiritual power. Hey, the Lord promised that power. Matter of fact, he told them also, a good commentary of the Bible is the Bible. Back there in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he's ascending. He tells them, "You stay at Jerusalem till you're endued with power." Hey, that's spiritual power. Why? Because we are in a spiritual warfare. Now, you can be super sane if you want to. But there are some times, I'm just speaking honestly, I just like to grab a hold of something every now and then. Because in the battles that we face, man, it just seems you get knocked and beat around, but there's nothing you can fight on the natural realm, on the physical side. We are in a spiritual warfare. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 8, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord that can use people, and so can the devil. But they're not the one we're really fighting. Amen. You see, it is that spiritual world. He said, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, if we're going to combat spiritual warfare, then we must have spiritual power. Amen. Hey, you know what's sad in our day? We got a lot of Christians who don't know a whole lot about spiritual power. They don't understand there is such a... Hey, the Holy Ghost is not just there indwelling you to be the witness of your salvation, but He's the one who enables us to face these battles. He's the one that gives us victory in these battles. Amen. And I'm going to make a statement. It's a whole message by itself, and I'll preach on it sometime. There is a difference in being baptized by the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. They're two different things. Oh, yeah. I was baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, when I got saved. Amen. There ain't but one baptism. That's it. Not many one. But being filled is something that happens over and over and over again. You say, preacher, that's charismatic doctrine. No, it ain't. That's Bible doctrine. Don't you be scared to talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. That word filled means being under the influence, under the control of. Hey, your life will run better, my life will run better when we are under the control of the Spirit of God. Amen. Now, some of you are a little nervous right there. You just can be nervous. Amen. Matter of fact, if you'd ever just grab that great truth and yield yourself, quit calling the shots and say, Spirit of God, take over today, guide me, enable me. Oh, friend, you'll get through this thing a whole lot easier. Amen. Hey, now being filled don't put you in no trance. Okay? It ain't a magic formula. It ain't a quick fix. It ain't a escape, get out of jail free card. It ain't none of that. Amen. But it is you yielding, you taking your hands off your life and saying, Holy Ghost, put your hands on my life. Amen. And so we know that, and we'll maybe preach that some other time, but it is spiritual power that we need. I get asked alone when you hear men preach about the anointing and the spiritual power, and somebody said, well, explain that anointing, explain that. I can't. But I know when I have it, and I know when I don't. Amen. There's a big difference. I sit here and I say a lot, but I do mean it. It ain't words. I really would rather dig a ditch with a spoon as preach without the power of the Spirit of God. It's hard to preach without the Spirit of God. Hey, the letter of the law killeth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Amen. One fellow described like this, I'm hung up, so somebody's a needing it, and I'll just preach a while. Amen. One fellow said like this, if all you had was the Word, you would dry up. If all you had was the Spirit, you would blow up. But if you get both of them, you'll grow up. Amen. That's right. When you get the two hand in hand in your life, you'll begin to mature in your Christian life. You won't be a babe your whole Christian life. You'll begin to go on to maturity. Amen. So we need spiritual power. That's what he's talking. There is a spiritual job, therefore we need spiritual power. Let me say this, not only it's spiritual power, but let me say secondly, it's superlative power. Amen. Preacher, what does that mean? That means superior to all others. Amen. Supreme. Hey, don't you worry one bit about the devil being able to defeat the Lord. Amen. Hey, this spiritual power is more powerful than every demon that's out here in the world tonight. Amen. Hey, understand this. When Lucifer fell, that part of the angels fell with him. Hey, they are the demonic forces in this world. Amen. But the Lord is more powerful than them. And all that crowd with the devil. Amen. Hey, understand the Bible still says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Hey, it is superlative power. It is greater power. Oh, friend, I know in the electricity side, 110 and 220 and 440, and then the main power source. Hey, the power of God's stronger and mightier than that. Amen. Hey, by the way, I'll say this power. God doesn't have to have some kind of current. You can interrupt a current. Amen. Hey, the power of God's stronger than anybody or anything. I got dwelling on the superlative side of his power today. And I thought about something I ain't thought about in, I mean, many years. But I remember as a boy, and you was on the playground, you began getting one of them scuffs, you know. When you're about to throw down. Amen. Hey, you remember how it went? It goes something like this. My daddy can beat up your daddy. You remember that? Well, can I say this to the devil's crown? My daddy can beat up their daddy. Amen. Hey, the demons of hell are subject to our Lord. Amen. Hey, we find that it is superlative power. Hey, it is what you and I need to fight this great fight of faith. Oh, we're talking about words of power, spiritual power, superlative power. Hey, then let me say that it's serving power. Amen. Hey, he said there, he said, but ye shall receive power at the Holy Ghost come on, and ye shall be with. Hey, listen to me. This power is not for an emotional experience. Are you hearing me? It's not tongues and it's not a shout. That is not what this power is about. Though it could stir you to shout. And the day of tongues is over. That which is perfect's come. Amen. I don't make any apology for that. Hey, you hear me? But if you get, boy, you get this power, it'll get control of the tongue you got. Amen. Thank God a tongue is tacked down on one side. Amen. Could you imagine if both sides was loose? Amen. We get in a lot of trouble one side loose. Amen. We got to have her tacked down. Amen. But the spiritual power we're talking about, this power of the Holy Ghost, it will control your tongue. It'll help you be a witness. It'll help you what to know when to speak, not speak. It'll help you, amen. Hey, he gave us a word about power. And let me say also, number two, they are words about a person. For he said there, but ye shall receive power. Here it is. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Again, somebody said, preacher, we're Baptists. We are, and we believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's right. And he is a person. He is not just a mere influence. He is not a force. He is a person. Hey, you go and study John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, and he is referred to as he, not it. For he is a person. Amen. Hey, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Hey, he is a person, not an influence nor a force. Let me say three things about this person just a minute, about the Holy Ghost that you really need to get home in your heart. Number one, he is a divine person. Amen. He is a part of the Godhead. That's right. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7 says this, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word." And if you don't know who that is, John chapter 1 will give you a real good plain answer. It's Jesus Christ. He's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He said there's three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Not three gods, one God manifests three persons. And now somebody said, explain that again. Can't do that neither. But can I give you the closest thing I can give to it? Okay, it's as close I can talk to you about it. I just believe it. But here's the best thing I can tell you. I am three people. Not only is body, soul, and spirit, that's a trinity of itself, but I am a son, I am a husband, I am a father. But there ain't three of me. That's as good as I can get with you. Just understand this, great is the mystery of godliness. That God was manifest in the flesh. Hey, we find the God. Hey, the Holy Ghost is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. God the Son is as much God as God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? You say, preacher, that's mind-boggling. Hey, that's why you. Hey, listen to me. We ain't serving an idol God that we made up. No, we didn't create Him. He created us. Amen. He is a divine person tonight. Not only is he a divine person, but hear me here. He is a dwelling person. Over in the book of John, chapter number 14, hey, we find out he dwells. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth them not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Hey. The moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost moved inside of you. Hey, when I got saved the night I got saved, listen, I was a 10-year-old boy. I knew enough to get saved. I didn't know a lot of theology. I didn't know a whole lot was going on. I just knew that I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I'd offended God because of who I am being a sinner. And my sin was great, though I was a 10-year-old boy. Amen. Listen, after that night, after that Sunday morning, Sunday school, and the Holy Ghost convicted me, had I died, I'd went to hell. Are you listening to me? I came to grips. I was a sinner. The Holy Ghost had reproved me. He had convicted and convinced me. Amen. But when I got saved that night, when I called upon him, he saved me. I felt something go off, and I felt something, and I'm wording it the way I knew this, something came in. I found out later it was the guilt of sin that rolled off of me. I was no longer condemned. I was no longer under the bondage of sin. I had been set free. And I found out what came in wasn't a water and it. It was a person. It was the Holy Ghost. Moved on the inside. And it has been different since that day. Amen. Hey, everything I do now, he's right there. Every decision, he's right there. Amen. Hey, he is a dwelling. He has took up a permanent abode inside of you. Amen. Hey, he is a divine person. He is a dwelling. He lives in me, and he lives in you if you're saved. Amen. He is the witness. Now, I'm going to remind you, great truth, Romans 8 over there. We talked about his spirit, bear witness our spirit. That ain't talking about individuals. Say, boy, our spirits bore witness of one another. Now, you may have a good fellowship with somebody, but that ain't what that verse talking about at all. It is talking about the Holy Ghost living inside of you as the witness that, yes, you are saved, you are a child of God. Amen. Hey, if you're struggling with your salvation, I'm going to give you a good test. All right? I'm going to give you a good test. Say the words, "I'm saved," and then tell me what is said back from you from the inside. Because if you are, the Holy Ghost is going to say, yes. Amen. It ain't based on how I'm feeling. It's that he lives there. Amen. By faith I accepted him. He saved me, changed me, and the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. That dwelling person, he's there. He sees everything. He hears everything. Hey, I'm glad he's there. Do you understand how blessed we are in the grace dispensation in the church age we live in? In the Old Testament, the Holy Ghost majority just moved upon men. Most of the men, he moved on and he pulled off. In the New Testament, he came to live inside of men. Amen. Hey, we find that he is a dwelling person tonight. Not only is he a divine person, dwelling person, he is a directing person. Amen. Hey, what's he doing? He is directing us in our life. Hey, what's all he doing? Well, John 14:26, he teaches us. The Bible said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. One old mountain preacher, I like the way he used to word it. You have a personal tutor. Amen. When you run across Scripture, talk to the Holy Ghost about it. Ask him to open your mind and your heart to it. He wants to do that. Do you know that? He will teach you all things. Hey, not only he teach, but he'll guide you over there in John 16. We find over there in John 16 and verse 14. He said, albeit when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine, shall show it unto you. He'll guide you. Now, I want to help you with something. Look up here. Most people talk about wanting God to guide them, really don't want God to guide them. This, with all honesty, they really ain't want, they're wanting to tell God what they want to do. Hello. Because sometimes the way he got may not be the way you want to go. Amen. Hey, you understand when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't take them the easy route, the quick route, the short route. He took them the long route. Why? He knew how they were, and he knew they couldn't go into battle right then. He took them the way it was best. Amen. Sometimes the way God lives, you may not understand it, I may not understand, but I promise you this, he guides in the right way and the best way. Amen. It behooves us to be wise and do what he says. Amen. And then also he directs to witness, because our very text, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. I find the Holy Ghost nudging me along. Talk to them about me, about the Lord. Tell them about salvation. Amen. You say, preacher, we're supposed to have, I tell everybody you can. But there are times he directs you and says, there they are. Won't you talk to them? Amen. And by the way, that's when you're supposed to do it. That's when he said, that's when you do it. You get putting off, you won't do it at all. Amen. Your window may close quicker than you realize. You better take advantage of that open door, that open window at the moment. Amen. Hey, he spoke about power. He spoke about a person. Number three, they were words about a plan or call it a purpose. Whichever one you want to use, plan or purpose. He talks about that in this verse. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. He speaks to them about his plan, his purpose for leaving us here. You see, first of all, he tells us who is to be a witness. He said, and ye shall be witnesses. Now, there's a crowd don't like our King James Bible because of the these, thous, and ye's. But boy, they're powerful. Amen. Thee and thou, right in the margin of your Bible, he's speaking to one person. John chapter 3 is the best example when he's speaking to Nicodemus. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee. Nicodemus is talking to you. Marvel I said unto thee. And then he said this, you must be born again. At ye, he's speaking to more than one person. He said, Nicodemus, you and everybody else got to get born again. Amen. And by the way, he is talking saved folk here in Acts 1:8. He said, and ye, you, everybody else saved, shall be witnesses. That's the book. Amen. I know folk don't like all that. That makes some folk nervous, whatever. I'm telling you tonight, hey, we're all, who's to be with? All of us who are saved. Amen. Hey, matter of fact, we all need to get a burden for somebody and work on them until they get in. Amen. Hey, we see who's to be with. Hey, then he gives us where we're to witness. He said there, Jerusalem, that's the city, that's the town you live in. He said Judea, that's the county. That's them outlining areas. He said Samaria, that's a whole country. You don't leave one area of it out. Amen. North, south, east, west. That's right. Salvation ain't just for one section of the country. Amen. And then he said the corners of the world. He said the uttermost parts of the earth. Everywhere, everybody needs to hear the gospel. Amen. Hey, we see who's to be with. We see where. And why should we be a witness, preacher? Well, number one, it's a command. He said, ye shall be. He ain't asked if you want to be. Did you notice that, Brother Bray? He didn't say, hey, you want to think about this? Amen. He said, you shall be. There's some things God ain't gave us no choice about. All right? Hey, I'm giving us this book to help us tonight. Amen. Hey, he said it's a command. And then let me say this, because of the condemnation on the world, the lost, they have to have somebody, just like you did, and just like I did, they need somebody to tell them about Christ. You would be amazed in this day. We're probably two generations deep in this country now of people that don't know God. There's nobody in two generations from the generations right here, this younger crowd, two generations back with some of them, have nobody in their family that's known God. Do you realize that? Some of you don't because you're out of family like I am. Man, you've got generation after generation after generation after generation of folks saved. But there are people that don't have that. And I want to say this about that crowd too. They know nothing about anything about God. And they're not going to know, hey, when they even get saved, they ain't going to know a whole lot. You can't just leave them to themselves. Are you hearing me? They need me, they need you, they need the whole church. Pulling around them, say, hey, we love you, we're praying for you. Hey, and help them learn some things. Amen. Could you imagine, Lord's blessed us three children, and Chloe, when she's real, could you imagine this? You that's got children, could you imagine coming home from that hospital, you're thrilled that you've got a baby, you're grinning, all that stuff, and you go in there and set the baby in its car seat on the table and say, all right, there's the refrigerator, there's the stove, there's the microwave, help yourself. It's all yours. You're our child. You've got access. Help yourself. That is the craziest thing you've ever heard, I know, because it is crazy. But why do we do it at church? Why do we do that with a young convert? We don't know how much they need somebody to come on and say, hey, I'm with you. Because I'm going to tell you something. The people get saved today, hey, look at me. You talk about baggage. People getting saved here out going to have a lot of baggage with them. We got children getting saved that didn't have a mom and daddy that kept them in line. You hear me? They didn't have a mom and daddy set them down as we do with our children each evening. Man, we got in that house, and I tell you, every day at supper we get the table, we pray together. One of us does a devotion, we pray together. Everybody ain't got that. Amen. I said the other night, I learned to pray by hearing somebody else pray. Amen. We need to help them. We have a world that's lost, and we need to be that witness for them. These are words he gave us as he ascended. That is words about power, words about a person, and words about a plan or purpose, whichever one you choose with that. Some preachers like the word purpose more than plan. It don't really bother me, but I just say both to help keep everybody happy as much as you can. Amen. Because I know this is what God said, and that's what He wants. Amen. He didn't take us to heaven when He saved us. He left us to tell somebody else. He didn't even let the angels give this message. You do understand that. I know we got people going nuts over angels, and they are angels, and they are ministering spirits, and they can do some things. They sure can. But the gospel's been given you and me to give out. Amen. That's right. They need somebody to just take time and say, I love you, and I don't want you to die and go to hell. Let me tell you what Jesus did for you. Amen. Father, take the message now. Use it for Thy glory. I've done my best to preach what You put on me. Lord, I'm thankful for liberty to preach it tonight. Lord, help us to hide it in our heart that we might not sin against Thee. And all You do, we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what the Lord laid on my heart. I know this tonight that we've preached most of the saved folk. You may be here lost tonight and you need to be born again. You're in the right place at the right time. The Holy Ghost dealt with your heart. You need to turn to Christ and be saved. For the people of God, we need to do what He's left us to do. That's to tell somebody about He's given us everything we need. We've got the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God. We have got the power of God. We have everything we need. Hey, He has even given us the local church to assemble in tonight. Noah, in his day, served God without a Bible, without the indwelling Spirit of God, and without a local church. And if Noah could do it, and it was a very wicked day Noah lived in, and it's wicked now, as the days of Noah, the days of Lot. Jesus said in the book of Luke, we're seeing repetition of it, but He has given us everything we need. It's at our disposal if we'll use it tonight. Let's stand. What are we going to sing, Brother Tim? Have Thine Own Way. If you need to come, come on. I preach what God laid on my heart tonight.